My name is John Erling. Today's date is October 25th, 2017. Barbara, would you state your full name, please?
My name is Barbara Ann Santee.
Your date of birth?
2/20/37.
So that'd be February 20th?
Yes.
1937?
Yes.
That makes your present age?
80.
80 years old. Where are we recording this interview?
At my apartment at the Montereau Complex in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
You actually grew up about a mile from here, didn't you?
Yes, at 71st and Memorial.
And our story today is going to lead from 71st and Memorial to nearly 71st and Yale or
yes.
Memorial.
From a three-room tar paper shack at 71st and Memorial to actually a luxurious apartment about a mile away.
It is very nice. Where were you born?
I was born here in Tulsa at Morningside Hospital, which currently is Hillcrest Hospital.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have a brother 2 years older. His name is Dewey Douglas. My mother married three times. She married Victor Lee Douglas and had my brother and I. And then she married a man named Leo Sturgis and had my half-sister named Linda Sturgis. And then she married a third gentleman named Ray Cherry.
What was your mother's name?
Violet Barnes was her maiden name.
Was she from Tulsa? Did she grow up here?
Yes. She was one of four sisters. My grandmother's name was, well, I always called her Granny Barnes, but she and my grandfather Barnes died in a car wreck when I was about 3 years old. My Granny Barnes, I stayed with her quite a bit because my mother was an incurable alcoholic. Two of the sisters died quite young. One died when she was only 9 months old, and the 18-year-old daughter died in a fire. Her robe caught on fire. She was married. Husband had gone to work. Robe caught on fire. And she ran out into the snow, and the neighbors rolled her in the snow to put the fire out. They took her to the hospital, and she died 11 days later.
And then your father's name, again, is?
Victor Lee Douglas.
All right. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, my grandmother got married when she was only 14 years old.
Your grandmother married at 14?
At 14. She and my grandfather. And they came down here from Kansas City. My mother, I think my grandmother had her when she was really young. And my mother had my brother when she was about 17 or something and had me when she was 19. So she was really young when she had the two of us. My dad ran away when I was about a year old. Later, I made contact with him, and he said that the only thing he had was an extra pair of shoes and a brown paper sack. And he ran away and sat on the curb and cried because he didn't want to leave his kids, but he couldn't stand to be with my mother anymore. He caught a train, you know, the empty cars that the hobos rode.
The box cars?
Yeah, box car. He rode that around the country, and he ended up in Arizona, and he worked at a place where he flipped hamburgers. He kind of had an affair with the woman who owned the place, and she lived upstairs. One day he left to do some business or something. He came back, and she had been murdered. He thought that it would be pinned on him, and so he left town. He went to California, and he stayed out there and made a pretty good living for himself. He bought a walnut grove. He ended up doing pretty well with his business. I went out there about 4 months before he died. He married out there, too. Didn't have any children with that woman. I got him and brought him to Tulsa. He died here. He was, I think, 84 when he passed.
Well, tell us about the living conditions and with your mother and whoever was around there. There's a bar that she was involved with. Talk to us about that.
Well, as I said, my mother was an alcoholic, and she was incurable. There would be periods in my life when she was sober and she was okay. Before we were in that bar, I remember one time when I was probably 6 or 7, I heard on the radio that Roosevelt had died. She was hanging clothes up on the clothesline, and I ran out and I said, "Mother, the president died." And she said, "What are you telling me that for? That's not true." And I came in, and they were giving the broadcast on the radio. She sat down and cried, and I remember that very vividly. At one point, she did fix my hair. I had very long braids, and she fixed it up, put a bow on top of my head, and sent me off to Sunday school with somebody, because she certainly didn't go to Sunday school. There were periods where she sobered up, and I guess she tried to fly straight, but that was when I was really young. By the time I got to be a teenager, she'd already fallen into the barrel. After my father left, she married Leo Sturgis. They both were drinkers. They bought this piece of property there at 71st and Memorial on the northeast corner. There was a little three-room shack that had tar paper on it that had this imitation-looking kind of stone to make it look like it wasn't tar paper, but it obviously looked like tar paper made to look like stone. It was ridiculous. And there was a little creek ran down there and a little wooded area in between. And on the other side, close to 71st, they built a little bar. It was just a concrete block, little square building, and a lean-to on the back where she had a grill, and she made hamburgers for the customers that were a nickel or a dime, something like that. When she divorced Leo, at one point, he got the house and she got the bar, and we had to live in the bar. It had these wooden booths. At night, we pulled the tables out and pushed the wooden booths together, throw a blanket on that, and lie on those wooden booths. That was our bed for the night. We woke up in the morning to the smell of stale beer and urine and have to go to school with their clothes wrinkled and everything because she never paid any attention to the way we looked. Then they built on another attachment. They put a shuffleboard in. That went on for maybe a couple years. Finally, after they went through the divorce proceedings, Mother somehow got the house, too, and then we had the house, and it was a three-room house at that point. My brother and little sister slept on army cots in the little bedroom. My mother and stepfather slept on a bed in the living room. By this time, she was with Ray, and I slept on a sleeping couch in the living room.
You're 9, 10 years old? Or?
I was probably 10 or 11. I can't remember. But I remember they always came in late, and they were always drunk. I remember one night I heard her groaning. I always heard when they had sex, and this was not the normal kind of groaning when they did that. She said, "You better get the bucket." And I acted like I was still asleep. He went out and got this bucket that we'd been using to patch the roof or something, and it had tar on the sides of it. He brought it in and put it beside the bed, and she sat over the bucket, and she groaned and groaned, and finally this big plop hit the bottom of the bucket like a bowel movement. But I knew it was a baby, and I knew it was dead. Then he took the bucket back out, and he was gone a long time. She cleaned herself up and laid back and just cried, and I went to sleep before he came back in. The next morning, I saw the bucket on the back porch, and it was cleaned up.